Great to see you. You should have a couple of handouts today. First of all, you should have the one that's called New Age Movement Part 2, which is what we had last week, and we're probably going to finish it this morning. And there's a sort of a handout that goes with it, which is New Age Movement, what the New Age Movement considers the problem and therefore solutions. So we handed that out last week as well. So you should have those. Then there's a new one, which is the Cult's New Age Movement Part 3. We may get right into that. Some of the very beginning of Part 3 ties in a little bit with Part 2, so we might go through it very, very quickly just to kind of get on a little further into the study. Let me give you some announcements. Something unique today. There will be no Awana or any of that today, and so we're going to be meeting in here for the Sunday evening service, but we're going to have it at 4:30. I don't know for what reason, but we've changed it to 4:30 today, and it'll meet in here. And there's a Vacation Bible School meeting immediately following our second service in N117. So if you're interested in helping Vacation Bible School or being a part of that, go in there. There's several Super Bowl parties for the youth at 4:30 at the Clarks, and about 5 o'clock at my house, there'll be a Super Bowl party. And then for next Sunday, if you're interested in joining Countryside, we've already got 10 or 12 people signed up. But if you're interested, if you would just either sign up through the bulletin, sign up out there, sign up by going on the website, or sign up by just calling the church office, letting us know so that we can get the right amount of food. It's next Sunday following the second service. N117 will have that. And I mentioned this Sunday morning for all of you who know Jay and Jen, next Sunday night at 6 o'clock service, South Complex, we're going to have an ordination service for Jay. We're going to be ordaining him. We'll have an ordination council sometime this week, probably on Saturday, and then have a service for him next Sunday night. So that's really a special as well. So if you can come to that, that would be great. It would be an great encouragement to him. I know his mom and daddy are coming from Mississippi, and we're doing it next week because that's the best time that they can come and be there for it. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, let me start with a prayer. We're in New Age Movement. We're looking at Part 2, and Lord willing, we can finish some of that and then maybe even get into Part 3, which a lot of that ties together. So let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, what a great, great, great morning. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the truths of the Bible, Lord. Thank you that we can know them, that we can be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. We can know the truths from the Word of God, that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Thank you that Jesus died and rose again and gives eternal life to all who believe. Thank you that the Bible is perfect. It's God's Word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit indwells. Thank you for all of the different truths that we know and that we seek to live out. Thank you, Lord, for these things. Lord, we just ask you that not only will we know what we believe, but we would be ready to give an answer, that we'd be ready to defend what we believe, that we'd be ready to answer some of the cults when they say some of the things that they say. Lord, we just ask you that as we're thinking through the New Age movement, which is, Lord, really not new at all, but it's just Eastern mysticism with a different name. Help us to understand it and then be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a little review. If you want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is a verse we talked about last time. And 1 Timothy 4:1 is a great verse because it says this: "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons." I mean, that's the truth, that in the latter times, we're in the latter times, any time after Jesus Christ is the last days, we're in the last days, we've been in them for over 2,000 years, and what's happening? People are turned away from the truth. Later on in 2 Timothy, as we talked about this last time, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, there'll come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. People will not want sound doctrine. I mean, isn't it a funny thing that for most of you in this room, if we talked about the Bible and we say, here's truths of the Bible, most of you go, oh, I love that. I love that. There are a lot of people who don't want this at all. They don't want the Bible. They don't want the doctrine. They don't want the truths. They want something else. In fact, as this passage says, they want their ears tickled, which means they want something new, something that's different. And they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. They will find people that will teach them things they want to hear. And that's what happens, and that's what's happening in all these different things, the New Age movement and all of these things. And so it goes on and says they'll turn their ears away from the truth. Now, if you remember, we talked a bunch of different things about it, but the handout that I gave you, and I just want to look at that for just a second, the orange one that we went over last time, the New Age movement says this. Here's the problem. They say that here, meaning us, the human race, we, the human race, we have forgotten that we are gods. Because remember in the New Age movement, everything is one, everything is God, man is God, truth is experience, truth is all relative, it's whatever you experience is what's right, all of those different things that we saw. Well, this one basically says we've forgotten that we're gods. And so the solution, and we talked about this last time, the solution was a fourfold thing that they said to do. First of all, seek a higher consciousness. That's where you have transcendental meditation, all the breathing exercises, all that different kind of things to move you to a different level, a different way of thinking, that kind of thing. Then they said, let's awaken the gods within us. You got to get in touch with your inner self. And I mean, the things that are just amazing, what people will actually believe. I talked about it this morning, that, you know, the truth is that if people reject Jesus Christ, they'll believe almost anything. They'll believe almost anything. And I've got the stuff right here. Of some of the things of Scientology and the L. Ron Hubbard and Eckhart Tolle and those things. And if we get to it today, fine. If not, we'll get to it next time. But some of the things that they believe, you go, people really believe that? I mean, people actually follow that. They will believe that. Yes, they will. And so they awaken the God within us. Get in touch with your inner self because we're actually God. The third thing is cultivate questions. In other words, doubt is the key. To encourage doubt, to move away from any traditions or anything. What they're really saying is move away from anything biblical, anything like that, because you just have to say we don't know anything about that. And then the last thing was use spirit guides. And that was the whole idea of transcendental meditation and visualization and fortune telling and hope and horoscopes and all those different things. And I quoted last week about Jay-Z Knight and how those people, she speaks of this wise man from 35,000 years ago and all this. I mean, it's just stuff like that. We got into the big three. We said the key three areas that we want to always think about is the Bible, the revelation from God, Jesus Christ, who is God, and salvation. And I just want to go very quickly that we talked about Bible last time, and we said that they don't hold to the Bible. What they say is there's a continuing revelation that there are prophets. I told you about Benjamin Cream last week. Benjamin Cream is the guy that's the terror center. He's the guy that put the full-page ad in the paper about the Christ is here now. And what he says is this. We talked about it last week. He says that this telepathic communications, everything descends on him. It forms a cone within him. There's light and emotional outflow. He hears inward words. This is the true spirit of Christ, the energy of the cosmic Christ. So what he's doing, he says, the cosmic Christ comes upon him, and then he's able to speak. Spengler, who's also one of these New Age guys, says, I find my conscience in contact with a force. It can't be described as a being, but a point of revelation. And then he wrote a book that had six communications from this revelation. It's the book called The Birth of the New Age. I read last week, and I'm not going to read it this week, but the article from the lady in the Ocali, her name was Nita Lee, and she was here, and she is a psychic, and she says everybody has the same ability because God's in us all, and we can see things. She said after the death of her son, she got hypnotized by a doctor who was, so that she could travel anywhere. She realized that when she was hypnotized, she could travel all over the world. She could travel in different times. She could, and she could tell people what she's seeing. And so she said, I can go backwards in time. I can go forward in time and stuff like that. So that's what's out there. We read last week about the book that some of you may have heard about. It's called Conversations with God. Some schools are distributing the book to the children through the Scholastic Book Club. It's called Conversations with God and Conversations with God for Teens by a person by the name of Neil Walsh. And the person who gave this to me highlighted some things for me. But it said this, that the book has like questions as if God is speaking and as if children or teens ask questions and then God gives the answer. And the author purports that he is giving the voice of God. And I didn't get to read all this last week. I just want to read it to you. This is what's going on. One of the questions is, why am I a lesbian? A young girl asks, why am I a lesbian? The answer is, you were born that way because of genetics. You just as you were born right-handed or with brown eyes. And then this God figure says, now go out and celebrate your differences. Another question, a girl says, I'm living with my boyfriend. My parents say I should marry him because I'm living in sin. Should I marry him? His reply is, who are you sinning against? It's not against me because you've done nothing wrong. This is God speaking to this person. Another person asked the question, asking about having forgiveness from God, the forgiveness of sin. His reply, I do not need to forgive anyone because there's nothing to forgive. There's no such thing as a right or wrong. That's in books for teens and for elementary school kids that's being put out saying, this is a God. And I told you, remember the one where the children visualize this wise man up on side of a mountain in a cave who's going to give them the answers. And this kind of stuff is everywhere. So in a sense, that yeah, Bonita.
The people served once a month, and they did work for the Egyptians, and it was kind of like, you know, you kind of owed them a month of work, but they were never under bondage. There is no proof whatsoever that they were ever under bondage.
That's in their history book.
It's in their, I think it was a literature
book.
Right.
Well, I think that book's wrong, because the Bible says the total opposite, and Jewish people have never gotten it, and there's a thing called Passover that dates all the way back to that event. And they didn't make that up, by the way. They just didn't make up Passover. And so, you know, it's amazing to what people are taught and what people hear. The whole idea of, you know, what do we say about the Bible and Revelation? It can be anything they want it to be. See, that one thing about a New Age or an Eastern mysticism thought is, if I have a thought, I can say, This is from the God within me, because I'm God. And so if I think this is right, or if this is what I think, then it's okay, because this is coming from me. Now, you may have a different thought, but that's okay with you, because that's your truth, your way, that how you're going to do things. It's an amazing thing. We talked about the reincarnation thing and the karma, and we'll get to it a little bit later. But you know the thing that hits people when somebody says, well, according to how you live now, well, based on how you come back. Well, the first question is, well, if there aren't really rights and wrongs, then who decides what you come back as? If there's no God, and the God is a universe anyway, the God is just everything, and you're God, and everybody else is God, then who decides what you come back like? The second view, the second aspect was, what do we say about, what do they say about Christ? Of course, it's pantheistic. All is God, God is all. Spengler, one of the writers, says, Am I God? Am I Christ? I'm all of these. I'm more. Well, the truth is, God is separate from the creation. God is the creator of all things. God is not all things. Pantheism is that God is all things. God is separate from his creation. He spoke it into being. God is not the wind. God is not the grass. God is not the air. God is not a chair. God is not the carpet. God is not that. He's not that. He's separate from that. He is the creator. So don't get it mixed up, because some people do. Benjamin Cream says we must pray to the God within us, the energy within us, the energy of God. And see, for God, for them, is not a personal being. It is a force. It is an energy. It is something that's all connected with the universe. There is a spirit of Christ. Now, I want you to understand this. When Benjamin Cream puts out the page ad that says the Christ is here now and he will appear shortly, he will make himself known, what they mean by that is there's a person on this earth who is going to be picked by this Lord Maitreya, which is the spirit of Christ, which is sort of floating around, that's going to come into this guy, and he's going to become like a world leader and lead the world. Now, he says that many have been led by this spirit of Lord Maitreya. Hercules, Krista, Buddha, Jesus. They said when Jesus was on the earth, Jesus was an ordinary man, but he got the spirit of Christ. And so he walked around telling people to do good and to be good. And then the Spirit of Christ left him and went on to somebody else. He says one day the Lord Maitreya will come and bring the world together in love and a one world government. It is the Antichrist. Who knows? Revelation 13, Daniel chapter 9, you find that there's going to be a world leader come to power who claims to be God, who ultimately is the Antichrist, who is the one who's opposed to God, who is the one who is demon-possessed. Let me tell you something. When these people say, I got down inside me and I found God inside of me, I found this force, this stuff inside me, and it told me things. Who is that, by the way? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principality. Who is all this coming from? You know, after we finish this, the cult, we're going to go to the occult. Okay? That's a little bit different. What's behind all the occult? Satan. What's behind all false religions? Satan. What's behind all false everything? Satan. He's the liar. John 6:44, he's a liar. He wants to be like God. He wants to be God. He puts everything as close as he can. That's why in Christianity, the lie of the devil is, do good and God will love you. You can't do good, God already loves you. The lie of the devil is, if you live a good life, you can go to heaven. That's what he wants people to believe. He didn't want you to believe anything about Jesus Christ. He didn't want you to believe in Christ as Savior. He doesn't want you to believe that you need a Savior. He wants you to say, do good and God loves you, and you can go to be with God. Satan is behind. He's the prince of the power of the what? Of the air, the fallen world system. Everything connected with the fallenness of man goes back to Satan. So when we start talking about the New Age movement, or the Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or Transcendental Meditation, or Christian Science, or any of these, the Unitarian Universalists, everything we've talked about, behind all of that is Satan. It's a fallen world system, which men and women move away from the truth, and they go to something else. That's what we're in. That's what we're seeing. Lord Maitreya. He's going to appear one of these days, and that's the Messiah. Now, here's what I want to do, because I got this in the mail. Christianity Today. Look at the cover. They have already landed. Science fiction myth makers' road to redemption. And the whole article, it's about what we've been talking about. The article is called Science Fiction's Brave New World. And what they're really saying is that science fiction writers have gotten people to believe that there's something outside of God, that there's other beings somewhere else that's going to be the saviors of this world. Because every time beings come from outer space, are they inferior to us or superior to us? Always superior. They're coming in the ships and they land and they make the earth stand still. Right? The day the earth stood still. They're close encounters of a third kind. They can come behind a car and make everything move. They can stop anything. They can do anything they want because they're superior beings. And so these science fiction ideas, which are all from, a lot of them are from people who don't believe in God. They come up with another thing. Well, the bottom line is they're saying that people have bought into this idea that there's something else out there that's going to save mankind. Or, as you see over and over again, that there were space beings that somehow came to this earth, and that's where we started from, right? What was the last of the, not Raiders of the Lost Ark one, what's his name? Indiana Jones, what was the last one? The what? The crystal? What was the whole crystal thing about? That alien beings had come and done all this to the world. I wanted to read this one little write this little section because they're talking about these fiction writers who write where people actually begin to think, well, this is what's right. Author L. Ron Hubbard chose a direct path to spiritual influencing, founding the Worldwide Church of Scientology in the 1950s. Scientology teaching that humans lived among extraterrestrial cultures before being trapped in bodies on Earth reveals Hubbard's early work as a science fiction writer. You understand that L. Ron Hubbard wrote science fiction books, and it became a religion called Scientology. So when Tom Cruise says, I'm a Scientologist, you're following a novel, a fiction, a science fiction book. That's what it is. Goes on to say, other relatively new religions such as Mormonism and the Nation of Islam among them incorporate interplanetary narratives as well. If you're a Mormon, where are you going to end up? On your own what? On your own what? Planet. Yeah, see? Okay. Star Wars director George Lucas says, I put the Force into a movie to awaken a certain kind of spirituality in young people. He didn't put the Force in Star Wars so that people would believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. He put the Force in Star Wars so that it'd be Eastern mysticism. Because that's what it is. The Eastern mysticism, there's a Force, there's a good and a bad. All Star Wars is Eastern mysticism. It's New Age. Same stuff. Yeah.
I wonder if you could find an old copy of Scientology that said fiction on the outside.
I don't know if you could. What he later wrote, which became the religion, he wouldn't say that's science fiction. But if you look at his writings, I mean, that's what science fiction is. We'll get to it when we get over to L. Ron Hubbard in just a little bit. And I don't know if we'll get to it today, but I'm going to read to you how he actually believes that we became here. And you'll say that's a science fiction book. That's like, you know, The Outer Limits or Twilight Zone. That's what it is. Let me tell you, Scientology is Twilight Zone. That's what it is. And there are a whole bunch of people who are just sitting there like this going, this is what's right. And you go, no, I'm sorry. You rejected this and you'll follow anything. Well, at the very end, I think, of this sheet, let me see if we have it. Does it say four things we're going to look at? That next lesson, let me give you these four things. We're going to look at this, and then we're going to start the next lesson because I think we got about 5 minutes. We can do it. But we're going to look at, in the next lesson, the whole idea of salvation, because in this lesson we looked at what they say about the Bible and what they say about Christ. Well, what about salvation? What do they say? Then we're going to look at the dangers of the New Age movement. We're going to look at the specific people and organizations. Now, we're going to look at three. We're going to look at Eckhart Tolle, which is tied in with Oprah. And we got the little video that y'all saw a long time ago that JJ brought in and showed. We're going to look at that a little bit. But I've got some writings by Eckhart Tolle, what he believes, what he thinks. We'll see that. We're going to also look at L. Ron Hubbard in Scientology. And we're going to look at that guy named Deepak Chopra, which is the meditation guy. He's an Eastern mysticism guy. We'll see those guys. And so we'll look at that. And then we'll talk about how to witness. So that's the four things for the next one. Now, before we get into that, let me stop for a second. And let me get kind of this stuff out of the way because I brought all this stuff. Anybody have questions, comments, or input just about what we're talking about, New Age movement, before we actually get into the next part three? And part three ties in with what we just looked at. Any questions, comments, input, anything? Yes, yes.
Several years ago, I read an article by a man. He was in charge of investigating the sightings of UFOs. And so he would investigate all these people, and 90% of the people said saw UFOs. It was either weather balloons or other things that just naturally happened. He said there are about 10% of the people that actually experienced something weird happened. They were physically marked in some way or other things went on. But his conclusion was that every one of those people were somehow involved in the occult. And so, who knows? I don't know what conclusions we draw from that, but I thought it was very interesting.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are there UFOs? Yes, there are things that are in the sky that people don't know what they are. Unidentified what? Flying objects. It might be a weather balloon. It might be L. Ron Hubbard coming back. You never know what it's going to be, right? Now, let me ask you a question. If you are Satan and you're the prince of the power of the air and you want to keep the focus off Jesus Christ, wouldn't you put things in the air that people would see and think there's beings from outer space? Take the focus off Christ. Because, see, if there are beings from outer space, if, and it's not true, but if there would be, then did Jesus die for them too? Or is there another Savior for them? Or how does that work? Or is this Bible stuff real? Because once you start thinking that way, and see, so I think that the phenomena of what people call UFOs and all these things, I think it's all satanic. And I think it ties back into the occult or just people who, you know, there are a lot of people that would love to see what they think is a space being, that they just love to see it. And so they're looking for that sort of thing. Anything that is unique or different, you know, they want to see that. Hazel?
Was just right over the, you know, but it was really something simple. But you were so full of fear that it was something really, really bad and it was going to take you over or something. But it was really a simple answer, you know, like the city was just...
Well, the Twilight Zone, it was. It was right over the hill.
Yeah. Just over the hill.
Yeah.
And
there's fear. Don't people, and Hazel, you're right, aren't people, don't they think that there is some superior beings that are going to come and take over? Now, are there superior beings out there? There are. What are they called? Angels. They're a lot more superior than we are as far as strength. Now, we're going to judge the angels. They're going to be below us. But remember, I can't remember the name of the movie. The ones with the pods, where the pod things fell from the sky. What is that one? Body, invasion of the Body Snatchers. Remember that one? Where'd they come from? From the sky. Right? And they possessed your, they changed and became your body. Took you over. Just don't fall asleep. Right? You can't fall asleep. They'll get you. I saw a Outer Limits last week. They're in the ice. And it was a guy trying to convince a panel of senators and soldiers that we were being systematically invaded by foreign beings. And they were taking over our bodies. And in some places they were like, they were called sand bugs. They looked like little bugs. But in other places they would just come in and they would take over. And the whole show was him trying to convince and showing, you know, video that he had, another thing that he had. And when it was all over, the chairman said, I just don't, you know, we voted as a group and the answer is we're not going to follow up on this. So he pulls out a gun and he kills the chairman because he thinks the chairman is one of those beings, you know. And so they take him off. And then two others at the table end up being the beings that have been taken over, and this guy hadn't. But they go, well, that's another one out of the way. And so they're the beings that are taking over the world. I mean, you know, it's just, that's what everybody wants to think, right? Where does all this come from? It comes from L. Ron Hubbard. It comes from all these science fiction writers. In fact, this will be in our library. If you want to read it, this is Church Magazine. It comes to the church, and we put it in the library. And it's got an article, but it has all these... science fiction writers that what they believe. It's got the writers like Olaf Stapledon and Eric von Daniken, Freeman Dyson, and it tells a little about each one of them and their books that they wrote and what they thought and how they tried to make people think differently about the world. And what they call it is the myth, and they're not meaning myth like it's a fake story. It's a story. It's a story to make you think a different way. The universe that science stripped of the supernatural is being resupplied with redemptive purposes by science fiction writers. Remember we said that America's becoming more and more what? Spiritual. But it's not spiritual for Christianity. It's spiritual for L. Ron Hubbard. It's spiritual for Eastern mysticism. It's spiritual for beings from another planet coming to take us. So that's what we're seeing. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What is your stand for us as a congregation? You're talking about all of this, all the movies, and what's in them, and what, you know, mm-hmm. Lucas put in this, you know, mm-hmm. all of this stuff. What are we to do as Christians? Can we go... take it as entertainment, or should we be more, okay, I'm not going to support that, I'm not going to go. And how about our kids? I mean, it's everywhere.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think the first thing that we're trying to do in our... Did you hear what she asked? What about those movies? Should we go see those movies like that? Should we support in that king? What about our kids? What about all that? The answer is, I don't know. But anyway, no. First of all, I think that one of the things we're trying to do is make people aware. If you were to see Star Wars or, you know, Indiana Jones, and no, you recognize what they're doing. It's not necessarily that you wouldn't go see it, but you may say, look what they're trying to do with that. Look what their thought process is, or look what how their worldview is. Or if you read I used to read H.G. Wells and, you know, those books, and they were fun and good. But at the same time, you understand, that's not a Christian worldview. And that's not a view of Christ and salvation. It's going to be a whole different thing. So I think part of the thing we're doing for this class is not necessarily saying don't go see any of these kind of things or do any of this. It's to just to be aware of what's out there. That if somebody were to come home and say, here's what this book says, you say, that book's wrong. That's just how they think or something. So, you know, there are a lot of things that are entertaining but not necessarily very edifying. And I think each believer has to decide for themselves what they can say. I can go see that and it won't bother me, it won't affect me, or whatever, you know. The Hallmark Channel is a pretty good channel if you're wanting something wholesome. Yeah. Yeah. I hadn't read it either.
And we kind of discourage that with our children and so forth, but they understand that this is all just a bunch of hooey.
Mm-hmm.
And that really the real truth, you know, you have to hold on to that. And this other, I guess, is it, maybe it's entertainment, maybe it's not, but you have to be able to discern the difference between it.
Let me say, that's perfect. When you go back to Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and had the Ark of the Covenant, and of course, it was a great replica of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, they were wrong in the movie because they were saying that the Ark had power. The Ark didn't have power. It was God's power through the Ark. So they were wrong on all that. But they were fine. But then you go to the last one, and it's all about aliens coming in. I was so disappointed. I mean, it was just not, it wasn't even the quality of the early ones, you know. Of course, that's true today on everything. I mean, let's face it. Most of the things today are pitiful. They're pitiful compared to the things that were done earlier.
It's pretty sad when you have to go back and just watch Andy Griffith.
Yes. Nip it. Yes. Yeah, you could not go wrong by watching Andy and the Hallmark Channel on most shows. And there's a lot of bad things out there. And some of the things that are cartoons are not very cartoony. Okay, was that the second bell?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, guess what? We'll start this next time. And listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pretty quickly through the first part, and then we're going to get into Eckhart Tolle, and we're going to see Oprah, and we're going to talk about, we're going to read what they say about these things. And L. Ron Hubbard, I'll just give them to you so you can get some ideas of what's going on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thanks for our study. Help us, Lord, to be able to put this together so that we can be wise, that we can know what's happening, we can see it, we can be ready to give an answer, and we can know what we believe and why. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.